Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Hello and welcome to Talking Baseball. We had a wild game four. Let's talk about it. Hello and welcome to Talking Baseball. My name's Jimmy. Sitting on the couch next to me is Jake. Trevor Plouffe joins us from California. Bug Dude producing in the same game room as us as we sit here at the new Roosevelt Studios in Arlington, which is nice. It's a couch, different mics, different surround. So if we sound a little different, that's why. Trev, you got your regular old setup. You probably sound great.
I'm nice and crispy back in the lab, baby. It feels good. It feels really good.
Jake, how are you doing?
Guys, did you see that?
Did anybody watch that game?
Hell of a ball game. I heard some people on different corners of the internet saying that baseball's hot in the streets.
Yeah.
I tend to agree with them. An all-time game. The product was incredible with a hint of sloppy, with some beautiful baseball sloppiness, though. I don't think it's point at the camera time and call people not clutch or that guy's choke job, but it was just one of the craziest baseball games of all time. Jom and I were in the building, which was awesome, with Bug, producer Zach as well. Trevor Plouffe jealous from his home with his beautiful family, which is fine. And just kind of a great night for baseball, kind of unreal, still trying to process it, tough to go to bed, tough to wake up and figure it out again, but excited to do it with all you beautiful people. And yeah, man, I think it's interesting. We said on the pregame show yesterday, we were talking about, which by the way, Jom was a, that final hit away from the best prediction of all time on the pregame show.
I'm all over this series, Trev.
And we're kind of, all of us are all over this series. The way this game ended up, Jakey Twitter predictions last night. So I'm rambling. I feel good. Baseball's hot in the streets. Hot.
What, I mean, I wasn't there for the pregame show. What was the crazy prediction?
It's not crazy. I just said that this game was going to be a back and forth shit show.
He had the score. You had 7-6. I had 7. If that last hit doesn't happen, I mean, it was.
Yeah, I had 7-6. I had back and forth every inning, every pitcher giving up runs. That's how I said this game was going to go.
I'm looking at the win probability chart.
Yeah.
And when Brett Phillips was up, the Dodgers had an 81% win probability. And after his at bat, they had a 0% win probability because they lost the game.
That was the big problem.
I tell you what I think, that this the rest of this series is starting pitcher versus starting pitcher, and if you don't have a 4-run lead by the time you get to the bullpen, you're fucked because bullpens are gassed. The Rays bullpen is so tired; they're exhausted. They're a shell of themselves. I can't believe some of the decisions they made. The Dodgers bullpen, Kenley now looks really bad. 2 games in a row. And his interview, he was like, you know, you got to shake it off. And who's the guy from MLB Network that we kind of like?
Amsinger.
Amsinger said, you know, Kenley made some good pitches, but some bad ones. I just watched every single pitch he made as I prepped for this breakdown. He didn't make any good pitches. His cutter wasn't really cutting, and he was missing. Even his strikes were missed spots. So the Dodgers have a problem with Kenley. But they also have a Roberts problem. Like I don't think the Dodgers bullpen is as exhausted as the Rays bullpen is. The Rays' best bullpen pitchers are not able to come through like the way they are. The Dodgers, it's Roberts, man. Like, and we'll get into it after Jake's burn. But I guess I just have a lot of thoughts. I was going to keep going, but yeah, we'll see.
Dave needs to, I mean, Dave has fresh bullpen. He refuses to use or leave in the game. It's like he has to make a move all the time, has to make a move all the time, except when it's Kershaw going the third time through the order. That's another move. Thing we'll have to talk about.
Yeah,
let's do it, dude. I'm craving the burn.
The human body craves contact. I'd say the only other thing that's nuts is, you know, a lot of those bullpen moves are going to get overanalyzed, and rightfully so to a degree. The Nick Anderson stuff is unbelievable. The fact you can still think you can trust him, but man, like a lot, there was a lot of lineup changes that became very impactful. Kolarik comes in, he faces a crew of lefties that ended up kind of looking good by Roberts for a minute there. And then, I mean, you know, look at the Rays top of that lineup had changed completely by the time that Kenley came in. So there's a little bit of checkers and chess going on in live moments and for the future. So, I mean, just an all-time baseball game.
Yeah. The Anderson. I was fighting with people on Twitter trying to tell me that, like, Anderson didn't even pitch bad. He didn't even get any fucking outs. I don't know what they're talking about.
He did get some outs.
Yeah, but I know he got some outs, but he got two outs gifted to him by the bunt attempt and the base running error. He went strikeout, intentional walk, single, out on the base paths, double, gifted an out on the bunt, ground out. So he got two outs, like two legit outs.
I'm going to disagree. I was watching him. I thought his stuff looked good yesterday. And no, I know this Corey Seager was just like a bloop hit, but in no world am I pitching to Corey Seager with a base opened right now.
Yeah. He faced seven batters. I told you guys that yesterday.
Like, his at bats are so good. Doesn't matter who's on the mound. Like, just take the right on right platoon matchup. Try to go after Turner. Like, pitching to him doesn't make any sense there. You know, like I said, like, he ended up getting a soft contact, but like, he just, to me, take your chances right on right. I think he looked pretty good. Now, is he gassed today? Probably. Like, he hasn't looked like Nick Anderson from the regular season all postseason. But look, he's a guy that has to find a way. Like, he's got to do something.
I haven't watched the replays like the crispness of Anderson's pitches. All I know is that he faced seven batters and he got two outs that weren't gifted to him. And if Bellinger's not out at third in the seventh there and he has to keep pitching, I doubt it looks pretty. So I don't know what you do. I mean, he's now 7 out of 9 games he's given up a run.
I know.
6 in a row.
6 straight.
It's not good.
And you bring him into a tied game of a near must win.
Let's do it. All right. Let's do it.
Burn is brought to you today by our most recent patrons, Zach Farnan, Joe Costa, Ivan, and Spencer Gibson. You can go to patreon.com/JohnBoyMedia. You can join the live chat. We got a ton of people in here now hanging out with us. Abe, Brady, Al, Halo Fangirl, Scrawny Donnie. That's a fun name, Scrawny Donnie. So thank you for your support. And that's what that is. And let's get to the burn. On your mark. Get set. And burn, Jakey, burn.
Game 4 of the Fall Classic. The Dodgers and Julio Jones Urias' first appearances as heroics against Atlanta versus the Rays and their friendly college pirate pitcher, Ryan Yarbrough, in essentially an elimination game for Tampa. Top one. How about Steve the Pirate? Justin Turner, solo homer. In the third, Corey Seager lights the cigar. 2-0 Dodgers. Hey, Rosarena. Oh, Randy is the best ever? Rays cut the lead in half. Mad Max Muncy's Fury Road continues with an RBI double. Out after a delightful hug at second with Willie Adames. Running her hands through my fro. Moon shot by Renfro. It's 3-2 in the Dodgers. Fortitude, Kike, do you love me? RBI double. Get low from the home plate. Over the wall, the wall. The Rays get loud. Take a 5-4 lead. Brandon Lau. buckle up. It's Jucktoberfest. Huge two-run single off of Bilal's glove. Ah! Happy Thottom. Kevin Kiermaier, hot. Yabo. Corey Topanga's another RBI hit. It's Dodgers 7-6. Bottom nine runners on. Ken Lee on the bump. Brett Phillips at the dish. And Phillips screwdrives one into right center. Taylor boots it. Kiermaier scores. Muncy relay throw to Rosarena. Trips. He's dead to rights. Will Smith does it. Squeeze it. Rosie scores. The Rays win 8-7, they take game four, an all-time classic.
Hell yeah.
All-time.
Hell yeah.
Classic. It's an all-time classic.
Jake wrote that burn in like 5 minutes. Guy's got a talent. Got a skill.
He's talented.
Got a truck.
And got Panera for breakfast. Bang. Add. Mm.
Add. Yeah, I don't know, man. This game was nuts. Like, Jake and I were watching it. Zach was filming us, sending our thoughts to Kyle, who's posting them on the Twitter and stuff. So that was cool by them. Great job. But during one of those, when the Rays took the lead, there's a clip. And I think Kyle asks us, like, or Zach asks, like, you know, do you think the Rays have the lead now? And I said, no, they still have to pitch Anderson.
Yeah.
And then Anderson came in and, Anderson comes in and gives up the runs.
I think we got to go back. I think we got to cron pod this a little bit because there's so much to this game.
There's so much to take.
Okay.
Friend of the pod, Ryan Yarbrough, gets the start. He ends up going 3.1, two earned runs, 69 pitch. I mean, gross to grind a little bit. The two guys that clip him are Turner and Seager, who go 4-for-5, both of them in this game. They're both out of control. They're both hunting the MVP trophy, as Jimmer was also alluding to with some of our live commentary. And then Urias on the other side. He ends up 4.2, two earned runs, 9 Ks. You know, I think him and Walker Buehler were the first starting pitchers to go back-to-back with 9-plus Ks since Clemens and El Duque or something like that. So, I don't know, some pretty craziness. And it's crazy looking back at this game now that, I mean, it didn't even feel like those guys were a part of, like, what happened in this game. Like, there was a first half of this game that was like, okay, the Dodgers kind of won 3-2. And then everything, I mean, just went completely AWOL.
Yeah, it was the sixth inning. That's right when I kind of got back and settled in. I was listening to the game on the radio, which is awesome to do. Like, if you ever just need to do that. You don't have a TV, it's a lot of fun. I think I was listening to the Rays broadcast.
They're fans of us.
I sat down for the sixth inning, and it was, I mean, I've never seen a baseball game like that. Like, the back and forth. The thing that was crazy, it was the two out, two strike hits.
Yeah.
Like, they the Dodgers struck out 14 people. The Rays struck out 6. They could not put away anybody. And you can have that pressure on your defense all game like that. And it was just like, Rays score, Dodgers answer. Rays answer. I was like, those games are like, these guys are exhausted today. Like, they got to, they're going to have to wake up, figure something out to get going, because that is a mentally and physically draining game they just played. But if you're on the winning side, it is obviously exponentially different than when you're on the losing side. The Dodgers have to feel deflated today. And guess who's on the bump? Playoff Kersh.
The moment seems to find him a little bit, and stay tuned.
This is it right here. This is like the thing, like, we're going to look back at the series, think about that ninth inning.
Dave Roberts is an idiot.
Here we go.
Game five, Kershaw is going to be, this is like my, I'm more excited to see this than anything else.
Tune in to the Talking Baseball pregame show coming up in a little bit as we preview that game.
So Jake and I were talking about, you know, we joked, like, all right, we'll go to sleep, and then we'll wake up, and we'll go right into the recap. And it was like, yeah, we don't need to prep. We watched it. And then we joked, like, no, so much happened. And while you're the game, it's a little hard to see pitches, a little hard to, like, really, like, stay up to date because you don't have the graphic as it is live. And I'm going through the changes here and remembering them.
Yeah.
And Roberts, and then like it's during at the moment people were giving him a lot of shit. I just wasn't like didn't give my full mind time to actually think through it. And now I am, and it's like, what the fuck, Roberts?
He was both sides, I think, were really bad yesterday.
Trinan strikes out Meadows on three pitches. He's one out away from ending the sixth. No. Okay, there's two on and one out. But then, like, bringing in Baez, he gives up the home run right away. Then in the post game, he said that he told Baez he was done. And then I'm guessing because the Dodgers took the lead back.
That's exactly what happened.
He was like, oh, never mind, Baez, you're back in. Which, like, A, you brought him into a situation with inherited runners, which he's so bad at. I think every inherited runner he's ever had in the postseason has now scored. So maybe don't bring him in with a muddied up infield. And then to tell your pitcher you're done, and then to stand him back up and be like, nah, you're back in. I mean, you got to be fucking kidding me. And then he gives up the home run to Kiermaier, and now the game's tied again. So, like, that's crazy.
The Baez stuff is unreal. Roberts with the quote after the game makes it even more unreal. I can't imagine being a Dodgers fan having seen some of Pedro Baez's playoff track record and be going through that. That was unreal. And I think, you know, Jim, you're pointing to fatigue a lot, and I think there's a little bit of that on the Rays side, but the one guy who couldn't point that to was Castillo, who he came in. He didn't look that great. Let's be honest, everybody got knocked around. And I don't know if it's just one of those baseball games where basically whoever came in, I mean, the two guys on the Rays that didn't give up runs were the sidewinder, Ryan Thompson, and John Curtis at the end, who, holy smokes, does he deserve some love for keeping that game tighter. And then for the Dodgers, it's Kolarik, who gets the point two, and he finds that nice little lefty lane, which seemed like pretty good managing. Kolarik hadn't pitched in 10 days or so, which for a sidewinder, and you come out with a four-pitch walk, you start to get worried. The biggest one that you have to circle, and our Dodgers fans were hitting us up on this, is Brewster Graterol. Seven pitches, 0.1 inning. The guy that debatably has the best stuff in this series, he just joined the 102-mile-per-hour club, which is a very exclusive baseball society. You know, the stadium was rocking when Brewster comes in. All the Dodger fans start doing the boom and getting the arms going, and he's just...
I had so much fun watching people again.
Oh, the people in the crowd were great. Society, like, figure it out, wear a mask and stuff so we can do more stuff, because it was just nice being among society again. But, dude, there was something special. And when Brewster was in for both sides, because what you did was you watch the pitch, Brewster would pump it, your head would turn to the scoreboard, 99. Okay, what's the next one? And, I mean, that's the one that you just absolutely have to circle after this, that it's like how in this shit show of a game was Brewster only given that leash? I don't know.
You know why. You know, we've talked about this on this show many times. Dave Roberts.
Yeah.
Very good person from all accounts.
That seems like a setup.
He's very trusting of his guy. And he can't get over the fact. I mean, yes, Kenley Jansen's been doing it for a long time. Clayton Kershaw is one of the best pitchers ever. Okay, but you can't. It's now. Like, we're living in the present. Okay, we have numbers. We have our eyes. Like, Jansen was good for what? One or two outings? Going into the postseason, they were like, he's like, I don't know who's going to get the last out. We're going to figure it out as we go.
That's where it's weird. Like Roberts had that quote that I put a lot of
Jansen
stock into.
Had a few good outings, and then boom, he's right back in there.
And like,
and Kershaw,
Graterol had only thrown seven
Kershaw
pitches.
Kershaw had a good start last time, didn't he? Guess what's going to happen today? I know we're going off in the second game again.
Uh-oh.
Or the next game. But when the third time through the order comes up with the Rays, Dave Roberts is going to have to make a decision. And we'll see what he does today. But, like, he's too trusting. Like, you got to see Brewster just going absolutely nuts. Like, he looks great. Have Kenley ready and roll Brewster right back out. And that's not even a hindsight thing. That's like, dude, Like, this guy's nasty, and the other team looks deflated when he comes in the game.
But just throw your good pitchers.
Let's tighten up some Robert's terribleness, because I don't want to crush him the whole time.
No.
He does deserve it a little bit, but this is also a great game. The other thing, the Kike Hernandez bunt, oh my God. And again, you talk about, there's something to feel in baseball. And hey, I'm like team bunt. That Austin Barnes bunt the other day, I love that. There's still a role. Analytics still hasn't fully figured it out. Kike Hernandez, who has the clutch hit earlier in the game, he's got a clutch postseason history. I know you can't quantify him. Let him swing that stick. Let him try to end this game instead of, you've got Anderson on the ropes, who's been horrendous the past six appearances, giving up runs, and you're going to do that to both of them, basically. You're going to hook up Anderson, and you're going to take the bat out of Kike's hands. I mean, unreal, unreal decision.
Yeah, Anderson ended the inning before on an RBI single, out on the base paths. Then he comes back out, gives up a double right away, and then you gift him another out. All these Rays pitchers got gifted outs. Muncy out at second on the base paths. Belly out at third on the base paths. Kike bunting. Earlier there was like a little trying to beat the shift that Yarbrough caught. I don't know if that was
a nice play
by design, that he was trying to beat the shift, or if it was just a weird off the bat.
Yeah, that was a squibber off the bat.
It
was a nice play by Yarbrough. And the Belly one, I do think Belly was trying to get the throw over there to get another run to score, which in hindsight, you know, the way this game
that doesn't make
out.
It any easier for Fairbank or Anderson, though.
No, but you're trying to get that run home. I mean, we see guys do that. You know,
it's
that's
still
part
a gift. They're gifted
running.
An out for a run.
For a run, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they make that trade. That's how you get 27 runs if you do it right.
It's a great move by the Dodgers. It also, the Rays pitching had gifted outs a lot. I'm still team, and Dodgers fans aren't with me when I did this speech 2 days ago, and I said, Dodgers fans, you don't have anything to worry about. I got a lot of love from Dodgers Nation because they agreed with me. They're not going to agree because they're in panic mode. Dude, the Rays needed you to make so many errors. The Rays had like three outs the pitchers didn't earn those outs. This was a magical, magical, awesome game. As long as Roberts gets his head out of his ass, it's the Dodgers in six still.
Jim, you said it. You just said it. A magical game. Put some magic, sprinkle some magic fairy dust on the series. The Rays were defeated.
Yeah.
They were done. You gave them life. They are going to come out today.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like
thinking they can win the World Series. They didn't think that going into yesterday.
Yeah.
Like they like you said, they got that game almost gift wrapped. You have to give credit to them for fighting back, but they're a different team now.
They were like holding the Rays hostage and then like checked their gun for bullets and shot themselves in the face. And the Rays were like, okay, we're free now. I mean, that last play is so bad, Trev, on every level.
Incredible.
On every level.
It still should have been a tied game.
Yeah, it was tied up and Kenley's still on the rope, so you don't know. But I mean, Randy should have never been sent home. Even if he doesn't trip,
I don't know.
I checked. Even if he, by the time Taylor had the ball in shallow left field, Randy hadn't touched third base yet.
He got sent too. He didn't.
He got sent. It's a horrible, horrible send.
Huh?
Even if he didn't, stumble, he was, it was just a collection of bad. It was a giant collection
of
bad.
Yes and no, because it's also baseball. It's also the beauty of baseball. It's also the third base coach seeing that Chris Taylor, who doesn't play a ton of center field, bobbled the ball, and he loses all his momentum. You know, when we normally see a throw from that part of center field, it's a guy crow-hopping into it, they field and gather. Taylor bobbles it, he scoops it again. And then, yes, I mean, pure chaos ensues. I mean, you see Max Muncy, and MLB TV did a really good job on this. When Muncy turns and relays, he sees that a Rosarena's tripped, so he feels like he doesn't peg the ball. So it almost looks like a changeup out of his hands. It almost looks like he pronates it, trying to aim the ball home to Will Smith because Rosarena's dead to rights. It's not a great throw. It's still there, Will Smith. And Smith doesn't grab it because he's trying to make the speed catcher tag. I mean, it was a beauty of baseball. It's sloppy and it's not necessarily great baseball, but I do think it's beautiful baseball.
That's why baseball is a fucked up sport.
I want to add to that, and then I got another point I want to make about the bunt. So yeah, when you're Muncy and you're, what was he, 20, maybe 30 feet away, and you're 20, spinning,
maybe 30,
dead.
When you're spinning like that, and you got to throw home, 30 feet is it's like a touch throw. And in that moment, he didn't have any touch. He just threw it as hard as he could in there. I mean, that's a tough play for Will Smith. It's a really tough play for him. But the bunt thing, I want to kind of want to go back to
it's
that.
Not a real, what are we doing? It's not a real tough play for Will Smith.
If you're a catcher and you think that's a bang bang play,
hammered that thing in, and he thought he'd have to hammer the tag back the other way. And like, if you would have seen him trip, yeah, then he sets up and makes sure he catches the ball. He's like, shit, I have to make a tag right now.
Leverage, it was high leverage, like pressure's high. I mean, I think if you redo that throw to Will Smith, I would guarantee he catches it 9 out of 10 times.
I just, when you're that close and you're whipping it around, it's not easy, no matter what, because you're not expecting the ball to go to your throwing hand side, having to reach all the way over. You're expecting a good throw.
Yeah, I know, but
it's tough. But the bunt thing to me was the worst decision made in the game last night. Yeah. Like you said, Anderson on the ropes. Choi is down Kike's throat.
Yeah.
Because you can do that with a runner on second base. The first baseman, Anthony Rizzo, does this all the time. You can be down your throat. So now you cannot. You can only bunt in one spot. You have to get bunt to third base anyway there. But sometimes if you get it out in front of the plate too, that works. Not in this situation. And Choi is right there ready to make the play. You have to make the third baseman come in. And look, the bottom line is, you just don't practice bunt. Like, how many sack bunts did Kike have this year? Can we look that up, BBD? It can't be a lot.
I'd lean 0 or 1.
The game with Austin Barnes, the first and third, that's netting you a run. Like, that's still a play. Like, if you're okay with a sack fly, you're okay with doing that. That's a tough play for the defense. That bunt play right there is not a tough play for the defense. That's stuff you've been doing your entire life. The first and third thing is a new thing. Who invented that? Madden, I think, did.
What are we talking about?
That's a good baseball play. This giving up an out Kike thing is this is why people say never bunt. And you know I'm not on that fence. I believe there are times for bunts. That is not a time for a bunt.
He has 0 since 2018. Don't know about postseason, but regular season, 0 since 2018. But he had 4 that.
0 since 2018. You're facing a guy that throws, you know, he was thrown up in the zone because that's what you also do when your guys are bunting. Just so you can get what happened. Exactly what happened. You pop the guy up and you get a free out. It was that decision. And maybe it wasn't even Roberts. Maybe Kike did that on his own. We don't know. I mean, did they say afterwards?
I doubt it. You think Kike's doing that on his own with G-Man down his throat? No way.
I don't know. Do not know. It's crazy to think that they would make a guy who hasn't bunted since 2018 do it in the World Series for the first time in that situation. It's just, and the Rays are known for their defense. It's, that was worse than any move all night.
Yeah. And yeah, Jim, I know you're talking about the, you know, the Dodgers had to have a handful of errors and, you know, that last play and a couple of the things that happened, the base running. And the Dodgers did dominate this game. They had 10 left on base. The Rays finished with 5 left on base. Like, the Rays had to push a lot of the right buttons. I will say the one play that I think will get missed from this series when our kids get together and they're watching old baseball games 30 years from now, the Brandon Lowe dive where Jock Peterson's ball went off the top of his glove. I mean, my soul left my body for a little bit. I thought that was the end. I thought that was going to be the difference for the Rays because if he squeezes that, it would have been the first stop in a while. And it's a tough play, but I think Brandon Lowe makes that more than 50% of the time. And after he hit the home run, that was the inning after. So, you know, I think if you're the Rays, Like what you're saying is right. The Dodgers are still the dominant alpha team in this series, but the Rays didn't necessarily play a perfect game themselves. So I do think they're feeling the magic and feeling the buzz a little bit, and it's going to be wild to see how that does translate tonight.
Yeah, is Snell pitching? Like, they got Snell up. It's Glasnow tonight? Glasnow, Kershaw?
Yeah, people are talking like that's a bad thing. I don't think that was a bad thing, because who else were they going to go to?
Kershaw, Glasnow is what I'm seeing in Glasnow's the preview. Glasnow's going tonight.
You couldn't – they didn't have anybody else to pitch. You know, if they tie the game up and it keeps going, like, I'm okay with using Snell there, and then you got to figure it out. But, like, you can't go down 3-1.
Well, before we give our final thoughts, let me tell you something about something.
Tell us about it, Jimmy.
The season is in full swing, and the action is still unfolding, so head over to DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. With so many storylines across both professional and college sports, this is the time to check out all that DraftKings Sportsbook has to offer. If you haven't tried the app yet, head to the App Store now, because you don't want to miss it. To celebrate the showdown in Happy Valley, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users the chance to turn $1 into $100 when placing a bet on either Ohio State or Penn State. Additionally, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users the chance to receive a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. On top of those great sign-up offers, DraftKings offers great odds boosts every Sunday to help you make it rain. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code JOHNBOY when you sign up to get this can't-miss offer. Pick either Penn State or Ohio State. Jake, who are you picking?
Yes.
Bet $1 on them and cash $100 if they win. That's $1 to win $100 when you use promo code JOHNBOY during sign-up for a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match. Each. Up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Oof, can I connect some dots for that?
Okay.
One of the best NFL games tonight, Trevor Plouffe.
Can you?
Cardinals, Seahawks. A couple baseball players playing quarterback, Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray. Baseball, football, DraftKings. Promo code JOHNBOY.
Yankees versus A's.
Yeah. Trev Seahawks. Wow.
Wow.
5-0.
What you watching there, Jim?
Watching the Brandon Lau catch. Because I thought it would have been like a diving catch.
The thing that gets me is it skims off the top of the glove. Like, that's in that's the web if he opens 50, it up.
You said 50% of the time. I think
makes that play, I think it's a highlight, like highlight.
It's one of those things. It's like, look, you're in the if they're not in the shift, he has zero chance of catching that. They're in the shift, but he's one step over the wrong way. It's like, you know, it's just baseball, man.
The whole game was baseball. How about Renfro and Kiermaier hitting solo homers? What sick puppies.
And Randy going deep.
Doing it, man.
Did you see my tweet? The guy in front of me, Trev, when Mookie made that nice catch?
Yeah.
Just pointed at my shirt and said, "If you love baseball," and then pointed at Mookie, "That's baseball."
Ooh. We had a good rowdy fan in front of us. Good LA coach is whistling, screaming.
Dude, I love COVID seating. No one in front of us, no one behind us, no one to our left, no one to our right. Except everyone's mad at us because we had our masks down on our reaction video. But those people came into our space. I didn't even know that lady was right behind me.
Yeah.
The seats are zip tied up. So she wandered over behind us.
And I'm fucking hot as shit, so I'm going to have my mask down so you can see my face.
Yes, that's what everyone wants.
Well, we put it up when we walked around. And when we were sitting, just the four of us with the gaps in front and behind and to left and right. Whatever.
Anytime we knew we were near people, we had it on.
Yeah.
Every time. Yeah, the whole point of the seating is that it's like okay to take it off at times. That was like the idea behind
eating and drinking, you know?
Smoking.
Dude, can we
Hot dogging.
Can we tell them? Tell them. Suite we went into.
Yeah, we can flex.
We there's no security at this stadium at all, Trev. Like, okay. Honestly, there's no security. It's very odd. There's no one like checking your tickets to make sure you're in the right section. There's no one saying you can't go here, you can't do that.
The one amendment I have to what you're about to say, the one bit of security that was very strict, no bags at all allowed.
Yeah, so no bags at all. Don't bring a bag. Which they did not tell people. But
if you're going to the game, don't bring a bag.
So anyway, we walked right into Rob Lowe's suite. Said what? Said what up to our talking baseball guest friend.
Him and his son Matt. I fucked us because they're both beautiful men. And if you look into their eyes, you just get pregnant.
Rob Lowe's eyes. Like, I walked in,
I'm pregnant.
He was asking me about if I pay someone to do my lip reading for me. And then we were talking about the stadium, and he's just piercing.
Trev, you would have been proud of me because, like, they had the whole spread, the buffet out, and I thought about just emptying the tank, just going for it. There was some sushi. There's some nice treats. I held back.
Yeah.
I held back. I was respectful. We saw Uncle Rob.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to. And the suite right next to the Lowe's.
Did you tell him if he keeps expanded playoffs next year and the DH he can't do that. But the expanded playoffs and the base runner on second next innings, tell him to stop.
Didn't it come up organically, is what I'll say.
Okay. I think a lot of people agree the expanded playoffs is bad. At least baseball people do.
It's pretty BBD, producer BBD and Manfred like locked eyes, and I saw BBD like his eyes were trying to look outside of his eyes, like, do I keep looking? Do I scream? Like, what am I supposed to do right now? So
did he see you guys? He 1000% knows what you guys look like. You're on like that board, like a people.
I don't think he knows who we are.
It's Bigfoot, John Boy, and Batman on there. Like,
he saw my sweatshirt and BBD shirt, and the both said, "I love baseball." And he he looked at him and just shot us a hard nah.
Triggered.
Not me.
How?
Yeah, he's like, actually, I don't. I don't.
No, his setup is cool.
Yeah, dude, he's got Jimmy's dream setup.
Got two monitors right in front of him, like where a normal person would put their feet on the railing in front of him because they're front row of a suite. He has two monitors there. The only shitty part about his setup, but I guess he likes this, is that he has headphones and he listens to the broadcast and has like the broadcast feed and then like the park feed.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
Of course he does. Because why would he want to watch the fucking game in the moment? Why would you do that?
He just wants to make sure that they're probably not shit talking him and representing the game well.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't want to talk poorly. I had a much better time listening to the game on the radio than I do watching the game. John Smoltz tried to say Willie Adames should have caught that ball.
What ball?
The blooper
over. Okay, so there was the blooper over his head. Who hit that?
I think it was Seager.
It was Seager.
Jam shot. Yeah.
Okay. What he was doing was, look, because Rob, you know, didn't do anything to the Astros. Everyone's still worried about, you know, sign stealing, and, you know, they had a guy in second base. So Willie was going in front of Taylor there and then getting back to his position. John Smoltz tried to set it up that Willie wasn't back at his position in time, and that's why he didn't get to that ball. Well, while he was giving his spiel, they showed the replay. Willie was clearly set before the ball was thrown. He did take one step in, but then went back. But the ball was literally 20 feet past him.
Yeah, it's not close.
It wasn't even close. And John Smoltz was like trying to make some. It was like, you know, Jim, you say like when a reporter has his story already in mind, he tries to bait you into answering the way he wants you to. Mm-hmm. It was the exact same thing. But John Smoltz was trying to say Willie Adames messed that up. And then the replay comes and it's like, no, it wasn't even close, John.
I don't get about Smoltz and Buck, and I don't listen. And I, that's just my personal thing. So like you say, like you'd rather the radio, just put the radio on and watch it, you know? Like I would never listen to those guys. I like Buck, but the style of it, I don't enjoy. Like the nothingness of it, like no surface level talk, no sway this way or the other, no opinions. That's what like calling a big league game kind of is now. And it's like, well, this is nothing.
This is. And they should do this. I don't know how they don't already do this.
Give you your home announcers.
You have Fox filming the game. Yeah, you should have home and away announcers or a neutral announcer. That's how hard.
Especially because
that
that's what this entire season was. It was one camera crew and two announcers because they couldn't leave. Like, give Dodgers fans their home announcers that know the most about the Dodgers, and give the Rays fans their home announcers, and just make it like when ESPN does ESPN and then Statcast. Just you know, do so different versions of Fox. Fucking charge extra for it if you want to make some money, because I would pay.
Exactly. Everyone would.
Everyone would.
Every baseball fan would.
Yeah. Every. Yeah.
And ain't that it?
No way he would have caught that.
People were going crazy when Buck had to do football and couldn't do the game, right? Is that today?
Yeah. It happened in the.
I think that happened. I think he's staying World Series.
And I agree. I don't care. Like, Joe Buck is fine to me. Like, he's. It's almost like I don't even hear him talk because he just, like, I've heard him so much. Like, it doesn't even, like, register in my brain anymore. But it would be nice to have, yeah, like, if you're rude, if you're an L.A. person watching the game, it would be awesome to have your own broadcasters.
Have Joe Davis and Trevor Plouffe in the booth just talking about
maybe.
It.
Maybe. Let's go.
Get me out of that booth. I don't want to be part of it.
Halo fangirls talking about the Angels are in the World Series. That'll probably never happen. But Gubazaw, that's my guy. Do you guys know Mark Gubazaw, broadcaster for the Angels? He's a color guy.
We have an exchange pleasantries.
Yeah, he coached against me in high school. He's the high school coach of our rival high school.
Oh,
yeah. And him and I like had some unpleasantries.
Love that
during our time there. Yeah, but I love him.
Perfect.
All right. I don't know if we have any more. I mean, an exhausting game. Really fun
crazy
to be at.
All time.
We'll be there for game
six.
It?
We're doing it all today, right? I'm ready. We're doing preview, pregame. We're streaming.
Yeah, this stream seems to be going well, so hopefully that you can join the stream for the game. We'll see what the delay is.
You have DVR at the place? Can you please pause it for me?
I don't know if we do.
I don't know. We've got DirecTV. We might be able to. But because we're on DirecTV, we might be timed up better with you.
Oh, my God.
Do you have DVR?
I do.
Okay.
Sweet.
We don't know if we do yet, but it's a pause.
It's a show over here, baby. I got pause, forward.
Let's everyone pause it, and we'll do a midnight rewatch.
I'm excited, dude. I can't wait. I was not happy that I didn't get to participate as much as I wanted to in the first couple games.
Your camping trip might have to become an annual ALDS camping trip.
Well, dude, no. I'll explain it to the listeners because it does seem like a really stupid fucking thing.
It's beautiful.
It's a camping trip we go on every year. It's family. It's very important to me. It's why I don't try to play baseball anymore because I'm home with my family. This was the only week I begged not to go this week. I begged. It was the only week that like everybody else could make it. So
you've been going on this camping trip your whole life?
My entire life.
So when the every year when the Twins would not make the World Series, you were kind of like, thank God.
We always watch the World Series. I mean, not every single year, but the majority of years, I'm watching the World Series like when I'm camping.
That's awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I had an excited thought, Jake, and then we got to get going.
We'll wrap it
up. But yeah, I was very excited to be at this World Series. What did BBD giggle?
BBD
at?
Just giggled.
Quentin said, "Trevor flexing by having a family."
Oh,
wow.
It works.
Yeah.
Oh.
Also, Sean McLaughlin with a huge bullet into my heart right there. Thanks for that.
Yeah, Jimmy was going for that bullet.
Yeah,
but you kind of missed it.
You missed it.
So
yeah.
It's a team bullet.
Yeah.
Trevor, would you have been allowed to miss the camping trip if you were playing in the World Series, or never became a question?
Trevor, if the Twins made the World Series, would your family have canceled the camping trip to go watch you in the World Series, or would they have been like, sorry, Trev, we'll watch you at the campsite?
Most of them probably would have went camping.
Anyway,
we're very
lucky. I was going to use the word blessed, but I don't really like that word. We're very lucky to have the support that we've had at growing this company, and like to be able to go to the World Series as part of like a job and a gig is really cool, and get this house and content. And I had a thought, Jake. Like,
yeah,
I was like, wow, we just saw a World Series ender that is like all time, like a crazy. Like, it doesn't have a name yet, but I feel like it's going to have a name. And then I thought, shit, this is our job. We We might see a lot of World Series games over the next 20 years or whatever. And then
we're going every year. I'm in. I've already locked it up.
This is amazing.
That's the goal.
So thanks to everyone that listens and makes this doable, because hopefully you enjoy the content while we're there. We did figure out a crazy way to get our live reactions.
It was awesome.
Synced up with game feed out like 5 minutes after it happens. That technology and the hard work by Zach and Kyle was crazy.
BBD, Zach, Kyle, Robbie,
everybody on the social was going nuts yesterday, doing really well.
And short king, Buster Olney, he said, Game 6, 2011, best World Series game ever. Game 7, 2016, epic. Game 6, 1986, unbelievable. Billy through the legs. And then he said, Game 4, 2020, the craziest World Series game ever. So that's Buster Olney, man. That's, you know, he's not a guy that just throws around the word epic.
Yeah.
So.
Maybe this is the start.
Epic, dude.
Dude, get me the short kings in a room in a reaction vid. Could you imagine Buster and Kirkjian watching that final play?
Epic. Epic's such a funny word.
Can I just throw this out, just a little dagger?
Okay.
Because I saw this on Twitter, so I'm stealing it, but I thought it's perfect for the moment.
Oh, are you talking about that model that dressed up as the crazy old guy that caught the home run in game one?
Okay. That guy's really good looking.
Yeah. Sorry, dagger time.
Yeah. Anyways, dagger. I heard that guy's pregnant, by the way.
Yes.
People are talking about the 2014 World Series. You guys remember what happened? Alex Gordon was stranded on third base. And someone brought up the fact Randy shouldn't have been sent there, but he got sent and the Rays win that game. What happens if you send Gordon? Do they go back to back? That's baseball, though. Those little decisions, putting pressure, so many things, man. Like, I was so happy watching that game. Like, I was screaming in my house, you know, jumping up and down. It was.
Buster only retweeted that tweet himself. He sent it out last night and just knew it was it. I've done that on Breakdown. I'm like, this deserves more love.
Trevor, coolest text exchange you had last night. Were you talking to Flaherty, Fried, any of the Youngbloods, Phil Hughes pulling cards, and any baseball people?
I don't even know. I had a bunch of texts, but I don't even know.
Flex.
One of the texting with our guy, Jack Davis.
Man.
He called us while we were walking home from the stadium.
He is a hot pot of coffee right now.
I like this. I like the game watching of the stadium. Like, I don't like, you know, I think all the ancillary non-field and views is probably bad, but I never cared about that stuff. Like, it is more mall than stadium when you walk around the concourse.
It's kind of nuts, Trev.
But once you're sitting in your seat and watching the game and the viewpoint, I thought it was fine and good. So. Yeah. But people judge stadiums on like
food,
or yeah, I don't know. It's weird because everyone wants the stadium to be about the game, but then I feel people judge stadiums about the non-game stuff. The view from the outside kind of sucks, but once you're inside watching the game, it was cool. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Except it took BBD. They ran out of boomsticks, so we didn't have any.
Took me and Zach like 20 minutes to find out they don't have it.
Yeah.
Definitely. I like that shirt, Trev. I don't have that version. I never bought that one for myself. That's tidy. I like it.
That's right, baby.
All right. This
important the company.
This has been more of a post-game show for the patrons anyway, but we'll say goodbye to everyone now.
Love you guys.
Love you. Goodbye. We'll be live for game 5 from Roosevelt Studios Arlington, and then we will be back at game 6. Exciting times.
I suck. We'll be right back. Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.